May God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be yours this day through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers in the office, that second reading that we heard was both a brief sort of highlight reel of salvation history, and it also spoke of the office in a roundabout way. It not only referred to prophets who are the mouthpieces of God, but specifically to persons who were used in that office of proclamation throughout the ages. Specifically, we heard about David, the type of one, the one who was to come. And then we also did hear Jesus' name mentioned. And then the very last sentence, he was not named explicitly, but was referred to merely as that message of salvation, who has come to us. And on this nativity of St. John the Baptist, it is a celebration for us. It's quite fitting that we're gathered here at a preaching retreat, especially from what we heard in those readings just now. It's a celebration for us who bear this office, who have been ordained and called into this office. Because this is what we, in our vocation as preachers and administrators, of the sacraments, that's what we're called to do exactly what John was there to do, to prepare the way of the Lord with that call to repentance, and also to speak comfort to the people whom the Holy Spirit calls when and where He wills through those means of grace. Of course, John's calling is unique and somewhat different than ours in that he was the last of the Old Covenant prophets. And so he stood there at the fulcrum or the tipping point of salvation history, the one who was called to prepare the way for the coming of the new covenant in Jesus' blood, that ministry of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. And of course, I don't know about you. I suspect you're probably similar to me, although it was interesting what Will said earlier, I think today, about, being ordained into the office and going, wow, welcome to the Brotherhood of the Martyrs, etc. I think about John, though, and I go, I'm thankful that I did not receive his calling, because part of his calling was to die for his confession, which, of course, someday you may face, I may face. The times we live in are uncertain. And of course, I take comfort in the fact that the Lord will prepare me should such a moment come. He will prepare me to make that good confession even in the face of death, should He place such a call on me. But back to the nativity of John. I've always been fascinated by that naming of John that we heard about there in the text. Because on that eighth day at John's Old Covenant christening, when his sin was cut away from him and he was added to the covenant and given a name, that name was a great shock to his family and to everyone in his community. No one has ever been given this name in your family before. How dare you do this? I mean, this was something highly unusual in a highly traditional and ritualistic culture. And yet John is the name he's given, Yohani. The Lord has been gracious. And we think of John as a preacher of the law. I certainly do. A preparer through repentance. And I always have this impression that John preached the law, that he got him good and ready for the gospel that Jesus would later preach and accomplish on the cross. And yet I need to be reminded constantly by the catechism that confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution. And of course, with my own inborn opinio legis, I always forget that John's baptism, even though it was a baptism of repentance, that repentance language in and of itself in Scripture is the language of God's gracious action, not only in bringing us to repentance, as Jeremiah says, "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned," but also in actually forgiving you your sins. And he does it through means. For Isaiah, it was that coal taken from the altar of the Lord that touched his mouth and cleansed him. For John's hearers, it was that baptism they received. For me and for you, it is our baptism. It is that word of absolution spoken in your hearing. It is the Lord's Supper in your mouth. Because confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution from the pastor as from God himself. Not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. And dear brothers, this comes to us through an office. It comes through the pastor proclaiming it in our hearing. This came to Israel through John. It comes to your hearers through you. It comes to us as brothers in the office through each other. And look what this glorious word of forgiveness that we have this privilege to proclaim. Look at what it works in the lives of the saints of God. John's father, Zechariah, first said to Gabriel after he heard that pronouncement that John would be born. He said, "How shall I come to recognize this?" Or you might say, those of us who grew up in the era I did, "What you talking about, Willis?" "I won't believe it till I see it," that kind of thing. And for his lack of faith, Zechariah was struck dumb until the birth of John. But not only until the birth, actually until the naming of John 8 days later, when he affirmed, first of all, of course, it was his wife who could speak who affirmed that his name is John, and then when Zechariah affirmed that, saying, "Yes, his name is John, the Lord is gracious." For Zechariah, his preacher, who had spoken those promises of the Lord to him. His preacher was not a man, but an angel who had been given this office of proclamation. And yet through those words spoken to him, through their power at work in Zechariah, that psalm of repentance was fulfilled. "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise." And the Holy Spirit did open Zechariah's lips in faith as he proclaimed a prophecy about his son. And so, dear brothers, this joyous task that you and I have, it is frustrating work very often. Our Zecharias in our pews often sometimes seem like they are many. They are faithful old men, faithful women, people who may have even labored in the church for ages, people who work so faithfully, and yet they seem to never accept a thing that you say. And you sometimes are tempted to think, if only I could smite them or strike them dumb until they would recognize the truth of what is being proclaimed to them in their hearing. If only I could have churches filled with new converts, eager to hear the word with joy and thanksgiving. And yet, of course, we have what we have. We are called to serve the people that we have, not the ones that we want to have. And still, we have this promise that the Holy Spirit works when and where he wills through your proclamation, through his naming of them in their baptisms, and his uniting of himself to them in his death and his resurrection. And through that, he opens the lips of his saints in glorious praise at the right time, working all things to the glory of Christ Jesus and to the salvation of mankind. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.